Good morning.
Good morning.
There are a number of faces here this morning who have returned after an absence. The one I'm looking at facing me right over here is Chava Fachler. We're very happy to have her back over here, and she should be able to keep coming for many, many years to serve the faith. Okay. We have, I never knew that Annette and Jeanette have a third sister. The two sisters from Ramat Chaim have a sister from New York who's visiting with us. We're very happy to welcome her. Not everybody gets welcome. Just remember that. Anybody else who have two sisters or two brothers in the class would also get welcome. There are others here. I can't. So you're all welcome. I have a special love for today's shiur. The kernel of today's shiur started 40 years ago. And every 10 years or so, I upgraded. I'm going to tell you the whole truth. I'm not going to play games with you. We know each other too long. I wanted to make it easier for myself this week in the preparation of a shiur, so I decided I'd pull out this golden oldie, golden oldie, and it'll make it easier for me. So I started restudying it all, and I think I spent more time on this shiur than if I would have made a new shiur, but I found a lot of new things. There are a lot of new things. Why did I want to make it easier for myself? Because in Yitzh Hashem tonight, we have the wedding of an Einikel. So, family is busy, and I'm going to start a Kiddushin, and I gave Bela off this morning, so that I don't have to worry about my shekel, I just have to pull out a suit, and that's all. Maybe that's not too simple. I have a new shirt, and it's a cuffling shirt, and I don't have cufflings. Okay, well, it's a crisis. The crisis will be passed. And then the only other thing, of course, is that this, any Einikel's marriage is a great simcha. But this is an Einikel who, when his younger brother got married 4 years ago, he couldn't come to the wedding. It was in the middle of Milchemet Ofedet Yitzhakah, and he was in the front lines deep in Gaza, and they said it would be too dangerous to bring him out to the wedding, so his commander gave him 10 seconds on a cell phone, and he wished Mazel Tov, and he said he's not coming to the wedding. And at that wedding, I said that, I can tell you the whole Torah, one of my classics. But we prayed that in Yitzh Hashem, the whole family should get together for his wedding. And that's going to be in Yitzh Hashem tonight. Beit Shemesh, yes, Beit Shemesh, you're right. Okay, that's enough. The shiur is one question we're going to deal with in the course of this year. And every so often, you know, when I work on this, I meet people on the street in Harnof, and I say, hey, I tell them the question. Hey, that's interesting. Notice the ones that say that it's interesting and don't try to blurt out an answer I've been working on for 20 years, you understand? And they think they're going to come up with an answer. 1, 2, 3. Ah, sorry. I wipe the floor with those who try to give answers. They're in the worst shape. The question is the following. Here is a mission in Pirkei Avot. Asor nisyono niknaser avdom avinu olam hashalom v'am abdekulam. 10 tests. Avram Avinu had to undergo 10 tests, and he passed them all. Lahudia, to tell us, Tamachiboso shall Avram Avinu Olam Hashalom, how much love Avram Avinu had for God. Avram Avinu Olam Hashalom. 10 tests he undergoes. And the the parents over there quickly, the ten tests are really Parashat Lech Lecha and Vayedah. According to most, according to the Rambam, certainly, it begins with the first pasuk in this week's Seder, Vayomer Hashem El Avraham, Lech Lecha, Me'aretzcha, Me'molaretcha, U'mibeit Avicha El Ha'aretz Asher Arecha. Go, leave the land that you want to go to the land that I will show you. Don't tell anybody. That's going to be the text for my brief sermonette under the chuppah tonight. Because that's an awesome pasuk. You know what that first pasuk in the parasha is? It's the beginning of Jewish history. The most awesome history on the face of this earth. It's unbelievable that we're around here 4,000 years later. It's unbelievable. It's the greatest story in the history of mankind. There is nothing that beats it. And it starts with this passage. No people has gone through the suffering, the travail, the trial, the pogroms, the exterminations. And we're around, and not only we're around, and this is why we're really a bone and throat. We're stronger. We're healthy. Becoming stronger every day. I love reading the newspapers that somebody else, some other head of state has come here. Every few days there's another head of state coming to learn another few tricks from Israel. In economy, agriculture, science, papers. Awesome. It started with that one pasuk. Lech Lecha Me'aretzcha. I'm not going to tell you the rest of the sermon for tonight. That's unimportant. But anyway, by the way, the first test begins with Lech Lecha. Leave your home, your father's house, your birthplace, the land where you were raised, and go to the land that I'll show you. Okay? Yes, to pick up. I mean, we know what it means to make Aliyah, and there was no Jewish agency here to help him. Certainly there was no Nefesh B'Nefesh in Avraham's days. By the way, there was nobody here in Avraham's days except for a hostile native people. And that's the great journey begins, the first Aliyah. The first Aliyah to Eretz. It's going to end with the 10th test, where God tells him, take your one and only son and Lech Lecha. Go, same words. Go to the land of the Moriah and bring him as a sacrifice. And then in between those two, we have he comes to the land, there's a famine on land. He's endangered by Paro, king of Mitzrayim. He has to go wage war against four mighty powers. The problems with Yishmael, Hagar, Bris Milah, there is so much that goes on. And he undergoes 10 tests. And he passes them out. My question simply is the following. In number 2, I'm just going to take a few selections from number 2. In number 2, this is the Rambam, first chapter of the laws of idol worship. First chapter, and the Rambam describes to us that first chapter is a history of mankind until the time of Avraham. A history. This is the great magnum opus of the Rambam. And this history, he describes the development, the evolution of idolatry on the face of this earth. Till it reached the point where man had completely forgotten that there was a God, a creator of heaven and earth. They forgot it. He says there may have been a few people, a Noah, but mankind as a whole on the face of the earth had forgotten God completely. And then a fellow by the name of Avraham is born.
Avraham. Wasn't Avraham yet?
Yeah, okay. But we call him now Avraham. Sorry, Chava. Chava? Hang in. Let's see. At the end of B, you see on two is on the left hand side. And it says in the dead of Zuhoya Ha'olam, Galgel Vaholeich, this is the way the world kept going, Arshin Noladam Doshal Olam, until the pillar of the world was born. Shuku Avraham Avinu, Olav Hashem. Avraham Avinu is the pillar of the world. Kivin Shinigmal Eitan Ze, where this mighty one became weaned. He's still young, but he's growing up. He began to have doubts, thinking, movement in his mind. He's still young, he's small, but he has doubts, he has problems. He cannot accept fully that which the society around him takes for granted. Day and night he thought, and he wondered, Heich Efsha, how is it possible Sheyeh HaGalgal HaZeh Noeh Tomei V'lo Yeh Lo Manik, this entire galaxy, all of the heavenly bodies, how does it all move? How does it all move? There's nobody who's moving it, there's nobody who's behind this all. How did it all come? Where's it from? Umi Yisarveh Lato, who makes it go around? L'fi Sheyeh Shar Sheyisarveh Latzmo, it can't make itself turn around. He didn't have a teacher, he didn't have anybody to tell him anything. He had no outside source of knowledge. He was fazunkin. Fazunked in Orkazdim. Amongst the fools, the idolaters. Vav and Vima and his father and his mother the Cholham and all of the people of the Aved Zorah, they are all worship idols. Vuhu Hoyo Aved Imoham, he worshipped with them. But at the same time, something's wrong. Libo Mishotei to Mevin, his mind, his heart is moving back and forth. Unbelievable. Until he achieved the near impossible. He discovered the truth. He understood the correct and just way of this world, and he all figured it out because of Dato HaNechona, a clear, brilliant air. He arrived at the decision. There is a one God, and he is the one that keeps everything moving. He discovered that this God is the one who had created everything. There is no other God aside from him in all of existence. He discovered the one God. It was the amazing discovery of man. I told you a number of times, there's this great history of the Jews by Paul Johnson. Paul Johnson is our guy. I think he's a priest. And he wrote a history of the Jews because he says, well, you know, they're like, they're the longest ones around. That's us, you know, the longest ones around. We've seen it all. And he arrives at a conclusion. The conclusion is, if Abraham would not have come out of Ur of the Chaldees, the world would never have discovered the existence of God. A whole world owes its morality, spirituality, knowledge of God to one single solitary human being. Avraham Avinu, he did. The Rambam is describing a genius, a man who's brilliant, who's courageous, because take a look at what he says further. V'yada he knew shekol ha'am toim, he knew that everybody's making a mistake. V'dara shegorama litov, he also figured out what caused the mistake. Years back, there are those who said that God created the world, then it should be right that we give honor to those who serve God, the sun and the moon, they're his servants, the stars. And you know, with the passage of time, People forgot that there was a God, and they thought it's the sun, and they thought it's the moon. No. Don't figure out. Remember, one of the shailas that I had early in my career as a rabbi, there were certain places in Poland and Galicia that they didn't eat garlic on Pesach.
What didn't they eat?
Garlic, shum.
Because it grew next to the fountain.
Go figure out. Go figure out when that developed on the face of Galicia. Let's go back centuries. Who knows what? Our volume had to figure out, and he did figure out what it was that brought people to the mistake of idolatry. He figured it all out, and he knows they're wrong, and they're making a terrible, terrible mistake. Zesha Ovdimus HaKochovim, they serve stars. There's Hatsuros, all four types of forms. Aksha Ovat Haimus Mitatu, they lost the truth. It was 40 years old. We're talking about 30, 40 years of painful meditation, suffering, intellectual suffering, until you arrive at the truth. And then, of course, here's where he makes his great next step, which is he decided that he has to share this news with the rest of the world. And that, of course, meant that he was going to be shaking up the accepted norm of things. People don't like change. People don't like radical change. And here also, Ram says that there were vested interests. There was a whole priesthood. It was a business. It was a business. There were people like physicians and people, a whole country depended on this idolatry.
They had to make an idol.
They had to make what?
They had to make an idol.
Yeah, there was, of course, there was the idol industrial complex. I mean, there was so much going on. And he was challenging this all, which of course did get him into trouble. And there is the story of Avram being cast into the furnace by Nimrod. And then he comes on Aliyah. The Rambam has described for us here, as most others who deal with Avram. Avram was brilliant. But not just plain genius. We're talking about a genius of awesome proportions. Paul Johnson says, nobody else could have figured this out. Only Avram. So therefore, my one question is, the man has achieved such an awesome discovery, yet he has to be tested? He has to undergo 10 tests? What's the purpose? Yitzchak doesn't undergo any tests. Yaakov doesn't undergo any tests. Why does he have to undergo 10 tests? That's the question. And this morning I was walking home from shul and I met somebody I'd like to chat with. And I asked him the question, don't answer what's going to come out of your mouth at first glance. I'm studying it for 40 years, and tell me, you are going to come up with an answer right now. But then he couldn't control himself, he said it, Lazo. Next time I meet down the street, I'll tell you the answer. This is the question. Huh?
You'll tell him the real answer.
The real, of course. Yeah, well, the real answer is the following. There are basically two ways to achieve a knowledge of God. One is the mind, intellect, yediyah, knowledge. And yes, there are a wide variety of proofs for the existence of God. God in history, God in nature, and within the human body itself. I mean, there are ontological proofs, philosophical proofs, theological proofs, all sorts of proofs of the existence of God. That's one way of achieving the knowledge of God. And then there's another way to achieve the knowledge of God, and that is faith. Faith. And the man in Beruna Shlema. My father told me, and his Zeta told him, we have faith. Now, these two approaches have advantages and disadvantages. The advantage of faith, of course, is that it's tried, it's tested, it's proven, it has survived. According to our Chesed, right now, 4,000 years. Countless Jews gave their lives, the greatest sacrifice one can make. Said Shema Yisrael and went to their deaths. That's powerful. Powerful. So it's tried and tested, it's proven. But then again, one can claim, you know, it's not so exciting. Some even refer to it, faith, as emuna pshuta, simple, to leave the impression as though, you know, if you don't have a really good head, so what you fall back on is an imam. But if you have an intellectual mind, you understand, then you ponder and you meditate and you think and you plumb the depths of the world in order to achieve the knowledge of God. Those are the advantages and the disadvantages of faith. We will get back to faith a little bit later. Intellectual knowledge, it's exciting. My, I found it, I discovered God. For the fertile mind, there's nothing like discovering God. Not like finding something else that proves to be that there is a God. But there are serious disadvantages to the intellectual knowledge of God. So, two of them, maybe three. One is, any intellectual decision is always of necessity tentative. What does that mean? I begin with a question. Remember, the man of faith never begins with a question. Does God exist or not? He has faith. There was never a question in his mind to begin with. From the time a tato or a mama said Shema Yisrael with a kid at 2 years old, you understand, there was never any question. Does he exist or not? The intellectual pursuit of God always begins with a question. All right, and then you begin to marshal all sorts of intellectual forces, ideas, proofs. Some you reject, some you accept. This seems good, that seems not so good. There's a kasha on this, there's a kasha on that. This is solid, that's not. The intellect can, the most that the intellect can ever achieve is a decision, a choice. I select something. In other words, I have all of these, you know, he exists, he doesn't exist, then I have to begin weighing and measuring. Which seems to be more substantial? Which one is more powerful? And then, at one point, I arrive at a decision. I make a choice. I have to resolve the question. I have to conclude. And the conclusion comes, I have selected one of two possibilities. One thing, the intellect, in matters that are abstract. Now you see, if the question that the intellect is dealing with is something that can be proven mathematically or by physics or in a test tube in the lab, you can achieve a point of certainty. But when the mind is dealing with abstracts, you can never achieve certainty. You can only achieve a selection and a decision. And that decision is always tentative. What do I mean by tentative? It's only as of the moment that I made the decision. 10 years from now, all of a sudden, another idea is going to hit me that I never thought of before. And wait, I have to open the question all over again. Does he exist? Doesn't he exist? I have the whole process. There's no guarantee that whatever selection or choice I make intellectually now, no guarantees it will ever exist forever. But Emuna is certainty. Emuna is certainty. And then there's something even more serious about knowing God intellectually. Knowing God intellectually. You know what the problem is? Oh boy, real problem. The one who knows God intellectually will never ever, unless he's going to be in our home, he will never ever be able to truly serve that God. He will never ever be able to bow and bend before him. Because you know what it is? I'll give you an example. Think of what Rabbi Elimelech Bar Shaul, who had been Rav in Rehovot, died young many years ago. Imagine the following scene. The scientist who invented the atom bomb is standing in a room looking at the bomb. There is nobody on the face of this earth that knows better than him the awesome destructive power of this bomb. A pachad! Terrible fear. And he knows it better than anybody else. But you know what? In the back of his mind, he can never, in a sense, feel subservient to the bomb. You know what? Bomb, I created you. There's always this feeling of, I'm bigger than you. You are the result of my brilliance. I found you, I created you, I put it together, I made you. The God that man creates in his mind also is in a sense a God that I cannot fully worship, because you are the product of my mind. I made you. You know what Avraham's great problem is? Avraham's great problem is his brilliance. You know what he is? He's the awesome man of intellect. But you know what has to happen to him now? That the Avraham knows that he has to take this fellow Avraham and turn him in to the very lonely man of faith, of Emunah. And you know how that's going to happen? He's going to undergo 10 tests. There's one fine thread that goes through all the 10 tests. They're all absurd. They're illogical. They're mad. Listen, Avraham Avinu has endangered his life out there in Ur-Kasdim. Thousands of people, tens of thousands of people who have already joined Avraham and Sarah. They've made great decisions for God. He has a world movement. And they saw him go into the furnace and he comes out. He is a roaring success. And God appears to him and tells him, Lech lecha, me'artzcha, me'miladetcha, me'beit avicha. Leave this all. Leave this all. And you're going to go to some land that I'm going to show you. And you know what? You're going to start all over again. Okay, come on, Kabezo. Let's negotiate this a little bit. Let's talk about this. I mean, do you really want me to do this? Take a look at what we got going on with it. Tens of thousands of people. These 10,000 in another 5 years are going to be hundreds of thousands. We're going to take over the world. Now I should leave. And then there's another question that the intellectual Avraham would have. Are you trying to tell me that there's one piece of geography on the face of this earth where you are more than any other place? What did I discover? I discovered the God who moves the entire universe. I discovered a God that mulls not only the whole world, whole galaxies, awesome, endless, one who made it all. And you're going to tell me that there's some little country, Allah, that there you are more than you are elsewhere. That's very difficult for the intellectual mind to grasp. Avraham's, you know what Avraham is being tested? Is he capable of serving God? Or is he only capable of serving and bowing before his own genius? Who does he serve? And you know how he's going to accomplish that? One after another, the absurd is going to happen to him. And you know what he's going to do? He's going to pass every test with flying colors. What's the second test? You schlepped me across half of the inhabited world to come to this great country. Oh, that's the land. I said, I have one that I'm going to show you. And there's a famine in the land. This is what you have. Schlepped me over here. This is the great land where you are more than any other. Why didn't you call God? The beginning of the Sabbath, there was a famine in the land. Avraham goes down to Mitzrayim. And he's there, and he's frightened that they're going to come and that they're going to take Sarah. I mean, you know, he was much better. The truth is, he was much better off before he made Aliyah. If he would never have made Aliyah, he'd never have to make Yerivah to Mitzrayim. He's going to go through so many difficult situations, and of course, the height of all absurdity is the tenth test. Take your one and only son and bring him as a sacrifice on the altar. You want me to be a killer? Not on your life. But Avraham Avinu gets up in the morning and he begins the 3-day journey to Mount Moriah to bring Yitzchak as a sacrifice on the Akedah. And I told Yadati, God is going to say, now I know that you're really God-fearing and you are one who serves me and not serves your own intellect. That's why it's tested. Yitzchak will not have to be tested. You know why Yitzchak won't have to be tested? Because he is the first one in history who will be able to say what we say every day in davening at the beginning of Shmoneh Esrei, Elokeinu ve'Elokei Avoteinu. He is going to find God in his own life's experience, but right there is Elokei Avoteinu, the God of our fathers. Yitzchak is born with Emunah. Yitzchak will have Emunah. Yaakov will have Emunah. Jews, until today, will have Emunah. Avraham had to suffer and toil until he became that great man of faith. That's why there are sorrows, Jonas. I'm going to take you through a number of things, very, very beautiful things over here. Number three, there are two paragraphs there. One is the Rambam's formulation of the first mitzvah in his list of the 613 mitzvahs, and the second one is the opening paragraph of the Rambam's great work, the Yad HaChazaka. HaMitzvah Rishona in the Sefer HaMitzvah, Hu Atzivui Shenitzaveinu, the command that we have been commanded, Laharamin Ve'elokut, to believe. All you have to do is compare that with the next paragraph. Yesod ha-yesodot va'amud ha-chokmah, the foundation of all foundations and the pillar of all wisdom. Leida she-yesod motzi. The Rambam didn't remember what word he had used for the first mitzvah. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs he says it's a mitzvah la-ha-amin. That means to believe. That's not the same word as leida. And here he begins by saying leida. Because the Rambam is telling us, in addition to the fact that I have faith, I'm born with faith, I have a responsibility to encounter God in my own life, see Him in Jewish history, see Him in nature, see Him in the events of the day. I have a constant mitzvah to find Him, to see Him. Two pillars upon which all of Yahadut stand. Knowledge and faith, the mind and the heart. Number four, you know, some strange reason, number four gave me a little shiver. I've learned it already for 40 years, 50 years. All of a sudden it strikes me there's something a little different. Now watch, the Rambam says, how do we receive converts? How do we accept and receive a real convert? When he comes to convert, and they will investigate and find out that there is no ulterior motive. It's not because he's fallen in love with a Jewish girl or anything of that sort, or who knows what. You know what Bezin says to him? This is what Bezin says. Why did you see fit to come and convert? But you're crazy. Don't you know she is Israel bizman hazeh? Israel at this moment in history are dovim, dechufin, umesuchafim, umetorafim. Now, if you think I'm going to be able to give you a precise translation of all of these, the truth is you don't need a precise translation. What it means, they are pained, they are pushed, they're pogromed, they're torn apart, they suffer. All of these suffering, where people suffering, the Yisudin Boyan Aleim, and suffering comes upon them. You know, it's like in Shemona Esrei. Sa'akes, Makes, Shafir, you're not going to be. We're just talking about God should destroy the enemies of his. Omar, if the Ger responds by saying, I'm Yodea, I know that the Jewish people suffer. Ve'eni Kedai, and I'm unworthy to be part of that people. Mekavlin Otomiyad, we accept him immediately. So, what's the new thing that bothers me this time around? I don't think you can use that description of the Jewish condition anymore. That we are hated, that there are plans afoot all over to destroy us and wipe us off the face of the earth, but we are not 2,000 years of Jews being battered from pillar to post. Somebody starts up with a Jew in this world, he knows that he may have to pay a very, very heavy price. We're moving into a different period in history. They hate us. They must probably hate us even more now because they can't really do what they want to do to us. But I have another question on this, Rambam. Why do you have to tell this to the to the Ger? And one reason is the perspective the Ger is going to say, well, wait a minute. What are you doing to me? I don't want to be part of the Jewish people. I'm an anti-Semite. I hate Jews. But I believe Torah is right. I want to continue living someplace in the Midwest or the Far West, Wichita Falls. And I'll have kosher meat and Cholam Yisrael flown in from New York. I'm going to keep all of the mitzvahs. How do I have nothing to do with Jews? What's wrong with that? Why can't I be a shamed Teremitz? I'll be a shamed Shabbos. I won't even carry with us a kosher Erev. I'm gonna be so from. What's wrong with that? You know what's wrong with that? What's wrong with that is that your conversion is because of your intellect. And we don't trust your intellect. You know what you need? You need faith. You know how you're going to get faith? When you become a part of the Jewish people. Then you can say, Elokeinu, Elokeinu, Elokeinu. Our God of the God of our hearts. If you're not part of that people that's battered and beaten from pillar to post and suffers, you won't have faith. That's why the gear has to become part of this living organism that's the Jewish people. There's another town down there. All right, maybe come back to that later. Let's turn over. This is my favorite pasuk. I know, I see some smiles over here. I said it about 1,000 children. My favorite pasuk. Okay, so they're all my favorite pasuk. Number six is the Shira. Oz Yoshi Moshe, the name is called Sashira Zos. The Shira. And what did they say in the middle of the Shura? That awesome pasuk. Zekeli van Veinu, Eloke Aviva Romimeno. I remember when I built my shul in Har Nof, and we commissioned some women from the north, I think from Nahariya, to make the parochet. So they wanted to put a pasuk on the parochet. So my wife says, "Your favorite pasuk, Zekeli von Veinu, Eloke Aviva Romimeno." And there it is. It's there. But so Rashi explains, Zekeli, Jews saw God at the Red Sea. Jews saw God. If they saw God, and they said Zekeli, they were able to point. Zeh means that there he is, there's God, they saw him. What the prophets were unable to say, they say because they saw at the seashore more than the prophets saw. So why do they have to continue in saying, Elokei Aviva Romimenu, the God of my father, and I will raise and uplift him? I saw him! I experienced him! So there's the great Rashi, Elokei Avi. The three lines on the bottom of the Rashi there. Elokei Avi. Lo ani tzilas hakedusha, I am not the source of this sanctity. It doesn't begin with me, this knowledge of God. Elo muhzeket v'omedet liyakadusha, rather the sanctity stands established for me. Ve'elo kutov alayim, his godliness is over me. Me'imei avotai, I have it for my fathers. Ze'keli v'anveil, but that's not enough. It also has to be elokeinu. And that's why we say Yishmael and say elokeinu v'elokei avoteinu. Explain this a little better. I once told you this story. That's right, also you didn't hear it. So, it was sometime in 1996, I think, at least 15 years ago, that I decided to clean off my desk. You know, every few years you have to clean off your desk. You begin to find all sorts of fascinating things that. So I found a calendar from 1991.
Oh,
and I decided, I need a calendar from 1991. Threw it into the garbage. And did I feel good? Oh, wait. I went back to the garbage, picked it out. Maybe there's something there. You know, we Americans, we collect stuff, we can't get rid of it. In number 9, you'll see what I found. Look down at number 9. By the way, I still had the first look in a calendar. And I Xeroxed the page that I opened to. Marshall McLuhan said, I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. You have to let this get into your kishes. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. Well, they tried to teach us when we were little kids in school, seeing is believing. Along comes Marshall McLuhan and says, not true, it's not so. And he's absolutely right. We see not only through our eyes, we see through what we believe and know in our hearts. That's what Rashi is saying. I remember when I saw that morning, I took this out of the garbage and I read this. And then I got all shook up. Such a great word. And we never, Rashi being so, never said anything like it. It was at the end of the month of Elul. I came to shul that morning, all shaking. What a great word. I wouldn't have seen it if I hadn't believed it. Okay? And God keeps me till the end of davening, tzipos to the shomer. And I come to l'dover Hashem ori. Lulei he'emanti l'od b'tuv Hashem be'eretz chayim. If I wouldn't have believed, I would not have seen the goodness of God in the land of living. And then you know what I did after that? Bang! I looked up at the Aron Kodesh. Ah! Right! If anybody heard me then in shul, they were wondering, what's happening to the rabbi? I take a look and I see Zekeli van Veyu, and the Kayov of Aron Amen. I wouldn't have seen him if I hadn't believed it. Remember, my wife once told me, you should have the Rashi on the parochas. Lo anit tilat hakidusha doesn't begin with me. Doesn't begin with me. It's because I have this faith from my fathers. That's why I have. Avraham Avinu undergoes 10 tests because he has to become the man of faith. All right? Number 7. Famous, famous Gemara. Everybody knows the Gemara. But you're going to understand it now, I believe, in a way you never understood it before. The famous story of a convert who comes to Shammai and says, convert me as I stand on one leg. Shuv Meiser Benochli Epoch from Shammai. There was another incident involving a certain Gentile who came before Shammai. Amalo, he said to him, Gaideni al Menashe Talamdeni Kol HaTorah Kula Shishani Omed al Regal Achas. Convert me to Judaism on condition that you will teach me the entire Torah while I stand on one foot. Shammai's response was, Dechofo. He pushed him with Amat HaBinyan Shebiyado, with the ruler. No, I don't think that Amat HaBinyan is not really a ruler. It's a plane. You know, when you, those things with the little bubble in it, if you want to see if something is straight, a level. Okay, good. That's good. You're okay. A level.
Okay.
All right. Now, of course, this leaves the impression that Shammai is, price tag violent. You understand? Strange. Anyway, he comes to both the Hillel. He came to Hillel and he made the same request. You know what Hillel did?
Yeah.
Good, loving, kind, saintly, grandfatherly Hillel converted him. Amalo, and he told him, that Allah Sani, that which is hateful to you, Lachavroch lo tavu, do not do it to your fellow. Zuri kala Torah kula, this is all of Torah. V'idach, perushani, and all the rest is but commentary. Zil gemara, now go and learn. We think we know the story. We most probably heard the story when we were little kindalach. All right. I'll tell you the truth. If somebody walked into my house Erev Pesach and asked me how to kasher his stone while he stands on one leg, I'd call Hachovesh, Mada, Ichud Hatzalah, and the police. Shugida! I mean, but what does the Gemara mean? Is this a joke? He's standing there on one leg, teach me all of Torah, I stand on one leg. Is it a joke? What does it mean? What does it mean that Shammai pushed him with this ruler or level? And then something else. You think Hillel is such a nice fellow? Try to think of the following. If somebody would come over to you and say to you, what's hateful to you, don't do to your fellow man. I know how I would react. I would open up a mouth. What do you think I am? What are you telling me? You think I would do something that's hateful to me? I would do to somebody else? What chutzpah would you have? What absolute nerve! It's a terrible thing to say to somebody. You know, you don't think about it. Think about it. It's a terrible thing. How do you say that to somebody? You know what's happening here in this galah? This ger wants to become a convert as he stands on the one leg of intellect. I don't need faith, my intellect. I discovered God. I can give you every proof you want for it. Shammai doesn't push him. He doesn't lay hand on him. This is the beautiful terminology of the Gemara. Shammai was a kablan. He was a kablan. But he was a kablan that knew how to make straight lines, you know. Not every kablan can make straight lines. You know, he knew how to put up a wall. He knew how to keep things standing. So you know what? Figuratively, Shammai is saying to him, he's saying to my entire prospective convert, that awesome edifice that is Judaism stands on two legs, not on one. You need intellectual knowledge and you need faith. Without it, the building falls. And I know how to put up a building. Shammai, I'm going to tell you now that Shammai here is the more, he's much nicer to this gear than Hillel is. Because you know what Shammai is telling him? You have one leg to stand on, but you don't have two. When he comes to Hillel, Hillel tells him, you don't have a leg to stand on. You want to stand on intellect? You know what I'm telling you? You, with your intellect, are capable of committing the worst crimes that man can ever commit, and explain it intellectually. The intellectual brilliant mind can also justify killing, exterminating, war, plague, pestilence. I don't trust your mind. You don't have one leg to stand on. And you know what we're going to begin with? We're going to begin with your understanding that your intellect cannot be trusted. Da'alok sani, what's hateful to you, don't do to anybody else, because you know what I'm telling you? You're capable of doing precisely that. You are capable of doing what is hateful to you, you'll do to somebody else. If you decide that he's a subhuman, he's not part of your race, he's not your color, you will be capable of doing the worst evil possible. The moment that you know that you can't trust your greiser mind and your intellect, then you're on the road to understanding what Judaism is all about. That's what's happening over there. Needs two pillars. As the Kalam said it, mitzvah lahamin, there's a mitzvah to have faith, and there's mitzvah leida, and there's a mitzvah to know. I have to seek out God in all our experiences. I mean, over here in this country, it's much easier. I don't know. I see a beautiful tree. I see beautiful tomatoes. I see God. I see tomatoes. I see God. Especially the sherry, the dark sherry tomatoes. I love them. Well, I don't think so. It's already started raining. The rain, yes, Hashem, it's going to come down. The rain is going to come down. You see God over here. And what? Just our savant. It's unbelievable. This is the place. This is his place. One of the additional new things that struck me this time, you know, it happens all the time. You know, we daven day after day after day, and only sometimes you're just struck by something. Ha! That's what it means. That's what it means. I was struck yesterday or 2 days ago. God, look at this. Before us, Yoshe. Atov Hashem Elokim, Asher Bechartov Yavron. You are the Lord God who chose Abraham. The Zay told me your cousin. You took him out of your cousin. The Samto Shemo Avram, and you made his name Avram. Umatzata et levavo ne'eman lefanecha. You brought out of Ur Kasdim the great intellect, the great mind. You had him undergo 10 tests. And you know what happened with that great mind? You know what you found after he underwent the tests? His heart is faithful and pleases you. Avraham Avinu has been transformed from the great man of brilliance to the man who bows and bends before God. The one who is ready, you know what he's ready to do? He's ready to make the greatest sacrifice of all. Sacrifice his rational mind to God. For him, greatest sacrifice. Until the last, when he's asked to sacrifice his son. Then he has to sacrifice everything. His mind, his future, his son, his whole life's work. And he's ready to do that. Umatzasa es levavo ne'eman lefanecha. He underwent 10 tests, and then you discovered that Avraham Avinu is not only the man of great intellect, Avraham Avinu is the man of great faith. Avraham Avinu's Yiddishkeit therefore stands on 2 pillars. And that for 4,000 years on in history, his children will be able to say Elokeinu, Elokei Avotenu, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yitzhak, Elokei Yaakov. Thank you.